Well, we have finished 2 Corinthians. And now we're going to move from Paul to Peter. Jesus has risen from the tomb, and now he begins to show himself to his disciples. And having just completed 2 Corinthians, where Paul ministered to the church at Corinth, Paul in 2 Corinthians spoke of his suffering. He even boasted about his suffering. And he doesn't hesitate to call his boasting foolishness. Paul also mentioned how he was given a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn was to humble him. And his thorn was a severe handicap, an outward handicap, so severe that Paul cried out three times, three different occasions, that God would heal him. And the Lord replied to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, that's not an answer we want to hear. But this outward handicap that Paul suffered had an inward purpose upon Paul's spirituality. For this thorn made Paul dependent upon God's grace, which strengthened Paul. Now we're going to move on into Peter, and we're doing this sermon today about Peter's being confronted to the Lord by the Lord if he loved Jesus. And Peter has been restored by Jesus after his denial, right there on near the very resurrection, and he's been saved after Jesus' resurrection. Now, the disciples were believing, but until Jesus rose from the grave, there was no salvation. So they received their salvation, as we read about in John 20, 22, and where Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then we moved in that chapter to Thomas, who goes through his little time of unbelief. And Jesus tells Thomas, "Reach your hand into my side and look at my nail-scarred hands." And then Jesus confronts Thomas with, "Do not be unbelieving, but be believing." We believe really upon the issues of our heart, not upon the facts. You either believe or don't believe, and you then justify what you believe through the heart. But Thomas replied to the Lord, "My Lord and my God." So Thomas comes to the realization that indeed Jesus was his Messiah, his God. So let's read John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and all that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this was the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. We find Peter here after the resurrection. He's at a loss as to what he's supposed to do. So he, being Peter, says to his fellow disciples, "I'm going fishing." Now he's saying that to a group of fishermen, and these other fishermen said, "We're going with you." And so they go and they get into a boat and they fish all night, catching nothing. Meanwhile, Jesus is on the shore and he calls out, "Children, have you any food or do you have any fish?" And they simply reply, "No." Then Jesus commands them, "Cast the net on the other side, the right side. The right side, and you will find fish." Now you wonder, these guys are fishermen. Was there doubt in their mind that there's fish on the other side of the boat? I think they probably did, but they're obedient. And they say, okay, we'll cast it on the right side. And there were so many fish that they could not draw the net in. But it's interesting to note that they obeyed Jesus when he intervenes into their daily life of fishing. They knew fishing. That's what they were, fishermen. But they can't draw in the net. And John, the beloved disciple, says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Just this catching of fish reveals to John that this is Jesus. Peter jumps into the sea, dragging in the net of fish, and it numbered 153. Now, somebody had to count those fish. They knew exactly how many fish were there, 153. And Jesus invites the disciples. He says, "Come on up, fellas, eat and enjoy breakfast with me." And this is the third time that Jesus reveals himself to the disciples after his resurrection. All right, they've had breakfast, they're full, and they're sitting around, and Jesus will now talk to Peter. And he'll talk to the other disciples about commitment. And so we read about that in chapter 21, 15 through 19. "For when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' And he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.' And then he said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' Then he spoke, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. To set the scene a little bit, the disciples have been in hiding from the Sanhedrin, the Jewish authorities, because they just crucified their Lord. But breakfast is over. What sort of mindset are the disciples in? The disciples have returned to their fishing nets. They've caught nothing until Jesus tells them, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. Now, that probably sounded foolish to the disciples, but the disciples need direction, even in the thing that they know best, which is fishing. And now Jesus will ask Simon Peter some questions. And he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? This happens to be when Jesus restores Peter before the other disciples. The second encounter of Jesus with Peter. Jesus and Peter, they had talked on the day of resurrection, but here and now, Jesus will zero in upon Peter or Simon. Peter, do you love me more than these? These, either being the fish that they have just caught, do you love me more than fishing, Peter? Or this meaning could mean, do you love me or do you claim to love me more than the other disciples love me? Either meaning, Peter says to Jesus, yes, Lord, I love you more than these. If you love me, Simon, feed my lambs. This is a question to Simon, and here again, you have to note that he didn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. Peter happens to mean small rocks or pebbles, and Jesus doesn't call Peter rocky anymore. And this calling to Peter is Simon. And this is noteworthy remark by Jesus to Peter. Calling Peter is a reminder to Peter, you are not the rock that you once thought you were, Peter. So Jesus says to Simon a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now you have to remember that Peter had declared his love before the crucifixion, that he loved Jesus more than the other disciples. He even loved Jesus to the point that he was willing to die for Jesus in his own estimation of himself. Now, after your denial, Simon, do you still claim to love me more and above these other disciples? We have to remember Peter's denial. Peter, in his denial, was adamant of how he did not know Jesus. But Peter was also, when questioned by Jesus before that, he was adamant at how he loved Jesus more than life itself. Yes, and Peter claims, I love you more than these other disciples that are gathered here. But Jesus asked Simon, do you love me? And the all-encompassing agape love, which Peter had boasted of before, Peter answers in a second tone of love, you know I phileo you, or I have a brotherly love for you, Jesus. Peter cannot answer that he agapes Jesus. Jesus wants Peter to examine his devotion to himself. Peter can only say, I love you as a brother. Peter has lost that self-confidence. He's lost that boasting of, I agape you, Lord Jesus. But Jesus lowers the standard. He moves into Peter's words. And he says, okay, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? The same response by Jesus. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Even if you just love me like a brother, do what you were called to do, Peter. And Jesus is telling Peter, or Simon, it's time to take care of my sheep, Peter. Not a time for fishing. Jesus tells Peter, take care of my sheep. Now Jesus will ask a third time, and Peter is known for his three-peat messages from the Lord, three commitments and so forth. And Peter, you know, as I know, he denied Jesus before the servant girl there in the high priest's courtyard three different times. And he even swore that he did not know Jesus. So Jesus has a point to make with Simon. Jesus is not being hard on Peter. He's wanting to awaken Peter to his own foolish denial, his own lack of courage, his own humanity. And the third time Jesus says, okay, Simon, do you phileo me? And Peter answers, Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know my love is at least a brotherly love towards you. But the same command. If you brotherly love me, Peter, feed my sheep. And then I think Jesus pauses. I think there's a dramatic pause here. And he allows his question for Peter, he allows it to sit and settle in upon him. Simon, it's time for you to be about the disciple, the apostle I've called you to be. No more boasting, Simon. No more prideful declarations of your great love for me, Peter. From now on, be about what I have called you to be. I think that's a bridge that as Christians that are called to serve God, that we all must cross. What are we about? Years ago, when I was still in business for myself, my business was finally making a little money, and that was good. And I was in prayer one morning at work, thanking God for his faithfulness to me. Things were going good for me. I had recently married Lori, a devoted, godly woman. We had bought 28 acres on a Stanislaus River there in Central California. Always wanted to live on the river. I'm like Sam. I want to live by the water. I love to hear flowing water. And it dawned on me how God had given me all these great blessings in my life. But I was like Peter. I was incomplete. My commitment to the Lord was mediocre at best. And I confessed, Lord, you have given me all my desires. I didn't have a lot of great, grandiose desires, but the Lord had given me all my desires. But there was no fulfillment in the blessings because I still fell short in my commitment to the Lord. And so I offered up a little prayer. Lord, why don't I do things your way? You've called me to yourself. So give me a heart and allow me to serve you with my whole heart. And from that day onward, I have honestly tried to live my life in service to Jesus. Well, after that prayer, it was only a couple years and I was out of business. Uh-oh. I had managed to pay off the debts that the business incurred, closed down the business, and I started farming. And I enjoyed farming. I really enjoyed it. I was a tree farmer, almonds, walnuts, and peaches. And I was also involved at a Calvary chapel there in Modesto. And I was also an elder. So I was serving the Lord, only for the Lord to call me to himself, and I had to sell my farms. And I come back to Alabama to try to plant the Calvary Chapel. And that was in 1995. And Lori and I were still trying to serve the Lord, but like Simon Peter, I had to come to an end of myself. And God has shown Lori and myself the path of service and commitment that he wants from us. And like Peter, we now try to serve Jesus' sheep. They're not our sheep. You people are not our sheep. You're the Lord's sheep. So bear with us as we attempt to serve the Lord. And Jesus goes on to tell Peter of his future, how he would glorify God for the rest of his life, and note this, and in his death. Our death can glorify God if we've lived for God. And Jesus concludes his three-time questioning Peter with, "Follow me, Simon. I will never leave you, and I will make you a fisher of men." What a great challenge for Peter. So starting next week, we're going to study the two epistles of Peter. And when we study those two epistles, we will see the transformed Peter. How being filled with the Holy Spirit, being converted, transformed him. How Jesus put his finger on Peter's self-confidence. And that was a good thing, for Peter had to realize how he needed to be confident, not in himself, but in the Lord. And we all need to come to that. So starting next week, we're going to look at 1 and 2 Peter. But that concludes today's sermon. So I give you a little background on Peter. So let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for being so real to Peter. I thank you, Lord, that you called him to give an account for himself. You don't let us just wander aimlessly, Lord, but you put your finger on our life. And when we realize your grace and mercy and your goodness to us, our only response can be, Lord, here's my life. Take it. Use it for your glory and your kingdom. And so we have Peter, who turned that corner, who, after his denial, was so forthright in his witness of you, Jesus, how he became a new man, not in and of confidence in himself, but because he had the Holy Spirit in him and he realized who you were and who he was. So, Lord, bring that revelation home to us that we will realize who we are in you. So, Lord, use us for your glory and for your kingdom. We want to be about you, Lord. We want our witness to be bold and strong, and we want to just magnify you and exalt you in all that we say and do, Lord, just like Peter did, just like Paul did, and all the other apostles. So, Lord, help us to get our priorities in order. Help us to be about you and your kingdom. And Lord, thank you again for being so patient with Peter and for being so patient with us, Lord. So we give you thanks and glory for it. So be with us, watch over us, be with us as we fellowship in our potluck meal this morning. And we give thanks to you in the name of Jesus.